You know, when you start saying stuff like explaining the dispensation of grace, and you start saying stuff like about the newness, we're in a new dispensation, we have a new apostle, we have a new message, a new program, a new teacher. Some people get a little irate when they hear you say stuff like that because of what we're going to talk about today. It's a basic concept of their understanding of God and the nature of God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This is foundational stuff. If you don't understand this, have you ever wondered why there are so many denominations in the Church of Jesus Christ? Just in the Baptist movement, which I'm pretty familiar with, you got Conservative Baptist, Regular Baptist, GRB Baptist, Northern Baptist, Southern Baptist. I mean, it just goes on and on. Free Will Baptist. I mean, and why is that? They all split on some little doctrinal issue, interpretation, because they don't have a good understanding of what we're going to talk about today. The reason that people get upset when you start talking about the newness of the dispensation, the little points I just outlined, like we have a new apostle, we have a new message, we have a new teacher, we have a new program, is because they feel that God never changes. How many of you would agree with that? God never changes. Okay? So let's put God over here. And we're going to investigate that this morning. I want somebody to read some verses for me. Somebody take James 1:17. Somebody got that for me? Raise your hand. Next, I want somebody to take Hebrews 13:8. I got one more verse. Then I need Malachi 3:6. Who's got James 1:17? Read it out, please. Real loud so that Mike picks it up.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
No variableness. What's that mean? God doesn't change. Who's got Hebrews 13:8? Okay, go ahead. Read it out loud.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
What's that mean? God doesn't change. So who's got Malachi 3:6? Go ahead, Keith.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed.
That's pretty plain, isn't it? So how many of us would say God doesn't change is a biblical concept? Let me write these down. James 1:17. I should have done this when I gave them out. So here we're saying that God changes not. Amen? Now basically, when we're talking about God's not changing, we are speaking to the character of God. I'm not going to read these out. I'm going to give you references. You might want to write these down. Because God's character and in his very nature, God does not change. For instance, God is holy. Exodus 15:11 and Revelation 14:8. God is always holy. He changes not. God is holy. God is righteous. Deuteronomy 32:4. God is faithful and true. At his core being, he is always faithful. He is always true. It's the character of God. Deuteronomy 7:9 and Titus 1:2. God is wisdom. Romans 11:33. At his very being, God is goodness. Psalms 34:8. Then we have the justice of God, Deuteronomy 32:4. The mercy of God, Psalms 52:8 and Psalms 35:18. And finally, the grace of God is part of his core, Acts 20:24. It's in the very nature. These things talk about the character of God. They never change. God never changes in his character. So, when we consider the question, does God ever change? We are generally meaning in his nature, in his character, and in his person. That's number one on your answer sheet there. God never changes. So, we agree on that, right? If God changes not in his character, does that mean he changes not in his instructions and dealings with mankind? So, if all we understand about God is that he changes not, it leads to doctrines like, we follow the whole Bible here in this church. It leads to salvation doctrines that say the Old Testament saints look forward to the cross, the New Testament saints look back to the cross, because God never changes. You see what's happening here? See where this is taking us? So, if God doesn't change in his character, does God's dealings do God's dealings with man change? What are you doing to me, Mike? I'm trying to make you think. That's what I said. This is basic to some of you. To some of you, it'll be life-changing in the way you look at your Bible. We're going to say there's many dispensations in the Bible. You know what dispensation means? You know what we're talking about? Dispensation means to dispense. And there are, some people see up to 7 different dispensations in Scripture. Paul talks about 3 dispensations in Ephesians. And what we're talking about is the way God dispenses or deals out to mankind. So, we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to see some things that by investigating how God dispensed dietary law to men can be transferred to other doctrines and other issues, and you can use this visual of dietary law to see what we're explaining. First of all, we have the dispensation of innocence. Parkinson's is coming out on me. And we're going to look at Genesis. Come on, marker. Genesis 2:9-16-17. Can you read that? Is that too small? And in these verses, God's everybody was a vegetarian in the dispensation of innocence. Let's look over at Genesis 2:9. This is what God dispensed to mankind in the dispensation of innocence about dietary law. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight for good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look down at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. What we have here is men were vegetarians in the dispensation of innocence. That's by God's commandment. He didn't give them approval to eat meat. Or they couldn't eat animals. They were strictly vegetarian. As we move along through our Bibles, we come to the dispensation of human government. Genesis chapter 9. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Genesis chapter 9, 1 through 4. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. And every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So here in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, we have the dispensation of human government. What was that? Genesis 9, 1 through 4. And we could eat meat. At that time, we're allowed to eat meat. The next dispensation we come to is the dispensation of law. Now, God has changed his what he's dispensed to mankind here in these dietary rules. Here, God said you can only eat vegetables. Here, God says you can eat herbs vegetables, and meat. Then we come to the dispensation of law. Oh, man, I'm sorry. And God gives very specific rules about dietary law. He gives specific rules about unclean animals. Turn to Acts chapter 10. This would be Leviticus chapter 11 is where he does that. Acts chapter 10. Of course, who knows what's in Acts chapter 10? What's happening here? Peter's given us an example here. Look down at verse 9. Peter goes up on a roof and he's about to pray, and God's delivering a message to Peter here. A lot of people misinterpret this chapter. People say that God gave Peter the message to the Gentiles. That's not what is happening here. What God is doing is opening Peter's eyes to the fact that he is opening the gospel to the Gentiles, and it's going to happen, Peter will learn later, through the Apostle Paul. God is shaking Peter up, because Peter had a hard time dealing with Gentiles. When he goes to Cornelius right after this happened, he says to Cornelius, "You know it's unlawful for me to come here." And all through the apostles had a hard time dealing with the Gentile message. And in verses 9 through 15, we have the story of the vision Peter had on the rooftop while he was praying, and a great blanket was pulled up in all four corners and lowered down in his vision to him, and God told him, "Kill and eat." And it had every kind of animal in there you can imagine. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that was unclean." So God, Peter was very aware of the law. He was in the dispensation of the law. He respected the law. He tried to keep the law all through his ministry. And he told God, "I've never eaten anything unclean." And you see, what Peter was actually, the gist of it, he looked on the Gentiles as being unclean. That the message was coming through from God. The Gentiles are going to get the gospel, Peter. You got to stop thinking like this. So very, very specific dietary laws. God changed from a vegetarian to where we could eat meat. And now in the law, we can eat meat with specific rules about what kind of meat. You can't eat. It talks about the animal chewing the cud. It talks about their hoof, how to identify the animals. You can't eat pork, you know, and all these unclean meats that were for the Israel under the dispensation of law, God dispensed to them. So we see God in his dealings with mankind is changing what he dispenses to mankind. Then we come to the dispensation of grace. We can have all foods all meats. Thanksgiving. And prayer. So here It's in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. For every creature is of God is good. Now you can eat ham. And nothing is to be refused. It is to be received with thanksgiving. That's the stipulation here. When God gives you all meats, He wants you to be thankful for it. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Now, just yesterday we were praying over breakfast and I told God, thank you for the food we receive. And I told God, I said, Lord, we live in America. I said, I have never gone hungry. I don't know what it feels like to have an empty stomach for 3-4 days and to be so hungry that you're famished. I said, I am thankful for my food. And I said, dear God, please help me to be thankful even when and if I don't have food. I want that in my life, to be thankful for God, to God, because God is good to me and to you. And have you ever had that concept? To be thankful to God even when you don't have what you need, because God still loves you and God still cares for you and He still sent His Son to die for you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So here in the dispensation of grace, we can have all foods. You can eat lobsters. He couldn't eat them back in the law. You can eat pork. You can eat anything. You can, if you're out in the woods and you're famished, you can set up a trap and you catch a snake, you can eat that rascal. You can eat turtle, any meat. If you're thankful for it and thank God for it, you can have it, you can take it. That's in the dispensation of grace. So God is changing in a way He dispenses to mankind. So here, God never changes in His core being. But here, when God gives directions to mankind, He does change down through the dispensation, and you can see that as you investigate what God gave to man in the dietary law. In grace, we have exceptions to the rule. Also, God told us that we shouldn't eat meats that were offered to idols. Romans 14 through 21, that we're not to offend a brother. If we're eating meat and that brother, you bought it in the market in Corinth and you've prepared that meat and you're eating it, and a brother sees you and says, that meat was sacrificed to an idol, I'm offended. Stop eating in front of him. Push it away from you. Don't offend your brother. You shouldn't be eating the meat to sacrifice to an idol anyway. You didn't know it when you bought it, but he knew it and he told you to it and he's getting offended. Push that plate away from you. Don't offend your brother in Christ by eating meat sacrificed to an idol. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 28 through 33, that you're not knowingly to eat meat that is offered to idols. That was the only stipulation in the dispensation of grace about eating meats. So, what we have seen this morning is a very simple precept. God never changes in His core being. He's always holy. He's always righteous. He's always just, truthful, faithful. That is God's core being, His person. But he never changes in that way. But with mankind, He has changed what He has dispensed in His rules and regulations to man in different aspects and different dispensations. And we can see that as we investigate God's dealings with man and dietary laws. Now on your sheet, I was supposed to plug these in along the way. but I didn't. I gave you number one. God never changed. When we consider the question, God, does God ever change? We are generally meaning in his nature, his character, and his person. Number two, if God changes not in his character, does that mean he does or does not change his doctrines and his instructions to mankind? That's what we're looking at here in the dietary rules. Number three, we can learn much by studying God's dietary laws through the dispensations. Number four, when we talk about the nature of God, we are referring to his holiness, righteousness, truthfulness, and goodness. Number five, in the dispensation of innocence, men were, what's the answer? Vegetarians. Number six, in the dispensation of human government, men were correct. In the dispensation of law, there were very specific or strict dietary rules to recognize clean and unclean animals. Number eight, in the dispensation of grace, man is permitted to eat
all foods.
Correct. Number nine, the requirement was that's a misprint. The requirement is that the meat must be sanctified by
prayer and thanksgiving.
Correct. Prayer and thanksgiving. Number 10, the exception was that we cannot knowingly eat
meat offered to idols.
Very good. So the summation of the study of the nature of God is that God is unchanging, but God does and has changed in the way he deals with mankind. Can you see how that could, if you get a hold of that, how that could change the way you see Scripture? That's what I meant when I said this could be life-changing for some of you, and for others of you, it's basic Bible knowledge. So that's the lesson for today, and I hope it's revealing to you. Amen. Who wants to close for me in prayer? Clarence, please.